Blog Talk Radio.
It's too short of time.
I have lots of time.
They say time waits for no
man.
All the time. Waste of time.
Wait a minute.
Just take a little time.
Time is ticking away.
To hear from our very own Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say something at the beginning of this show. There's a lot of discussion on some things within time, and a lot of people get very argumentative about it. And so We spent a 2 or 3 weeks going over the Bible, how important it is to know that the Bible is the Word of God, and also to be able to know which translation of the Bible, not one, what version of the Bible, is very important to stay with, which was the King James Version. And I want to encourage everyone, if you didn't listen to those shows or if you know someone that's battling something with Scripture, to let them know about the shows and the historical context of how it was all put together. And I think those were very important shows at a time when the Bible itself is attacked like it is in our school system and everything, to be able to understand yourself and be able to share with your children. The other part of this show tonight, I wanted to find something, like I said, it was very low-key, something that's kind of light. There's a lot of information going to come out here, and these guys are kind of having fun as they're cutting up with each other. It was on a television show, and they have two different ways of looking at things. Irvin Baxter, as a lot of people know, he's associated with the United Pentecostal Church, and then Perry Stone, he's associated with the Church of God. The people that actually were doing this television show were Assembly of God. Now, I know them titles probably don't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but I just wanted to lay that out at the foundation. But they're fairly polite to each other, and it's kind of comical at times as they bring out the different viewpoints. But I encourage everyone to get you a pencil and a piece of paper, and we've divided this show into two parts, so it's going to be quite a bit to this. And but we want you to be able to make notes off of this. And then, as always, as Starla said, we'll open it up for discussion at the end, because I kind of go back and forth on how I feel about it, if it's pre-trib or, you know, partial trib or whatever, when the church goes out. But, you know, there's a reason that these things were listed in our Bible. And it wasn't there just to make the book have more pages. It wasn't there just to make it to where it was something we can speculate on. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved. It doesn't mean that we're going to come up with all the answers to everything, but it does give us a starting point, ending points, and some things to know about, you know, what's coming. So, and that's a biggie, just the fact that historical things that we've seen happen are actually through Bible prophecy in the Bible, you can see these things come about. So I don't want to take a whole lot of time here. I think Starla's got 6 sections for the show for tonight. And if I've sanded it out right, it should be done a little earlier than usual to give time for more discussion. So, Starla, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Okay, Doug. Well, here we go.
Let me just say hello to Dr. Irvin Baxter. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Welcome. And Harry Stone.
Bless you, sir.
We will, as I said, give you a proper introduction in a moment, but let's, first of all, Matthew, my son.
Yes, sir.
You're my co-host tonight, are you not?
I am your Ed McMahon tonight.
Well, he still has a program, of course, on TBN, but we had quite a unique program. Hal took the premillennial, what?
Pre-trib.
Pre-trib.
Yeah.
Dr. Stuart McBurney, who is in heaven, took the mid-trib, and Doug Clark took the post-trib theory.
Right.
And we actually have both ends of the spectrum here tonight with Dr. Baxter.
The Alpha and the Omega. Yeah,
yeah, the Alpha and the Omega. And we really, really are going to be excited to hear some of the good things that you have to say.
Can I ask you a question? In the 1980s, you were hosting a lot of these kind of prophecy nights, right?
Yes.
And you enjoyed having the panel and discussing it. The idea that pre, mid, and post were all, you know, kind of represented by the different people, mm-hmm. and that one of them is now in glory and the other one ended up in prison. does that mean that Hal was right and it's pre-trib?
You would bring that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just true. I mean,
please
just trying to be honest. Come
please
on, there, you know.
I take the Fifth Amendment.
Maybe
on that.
Maybe he's right, but let me ask you another question for the younger folks. Okay, so for Perry and I, I'm
yeah, thank,
right?
well, thank
yeah.
you for that.
Got your back,
that,
brother.
But, yeah, come on, pound me right
yeah.
there, son. I'll take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Day of the week.
We
that's all we got.
Perry and I decided we wanted the older guys on the inside and we would represent the younger. But let me, for reals, In your generation, and I want to just set a little bit of context for our age group and younger, Perry, and, you know, you're even a little older than I am, obviously.
Don't tell nobody that.
Yeah. So, is that in your generation, and this, I think, is really important. Now, Brother Baxter, how old are you?
I'm 66.
66. Okay, you're 77.
I'm
Perry, 52. Okay, I'm like still in my 40s, so you guys are, you know, but...
No, you're not.
Yeah. I just turned 50.
Okay.
So, but Israel became a nation, kind of starting what a lot of people call the time clock, you know, in, when you were 14 years old.
Right.
Okay. So for you, this is a really big deal, the prophetic look into the future. We were talking about this on Behind the Scenes the other day, and I said, Dad, you know, you've given too much detail, and younger people, their eyes just glazed over, and they didn't really know. And then I get a tweet from a 22-year-old going, no, this is really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So remember, for our age group, this was a much bigger deal for you. We were the age group that didn't think we'd ever get married. We ran down the aisle, you know, to get married. Got married early.
Had to have a honeymoon before the rapture, man. You understand what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So don't bother going to college. Just come work at TV. You know, you get the, you know. So here we are, and things have kind of stretched out a little bit. So, you know, part of the younger generation says that your age group has a little bit of explaining to do to us and give us the context that we need.
No, we don't. It's right in the Bible.
Now, then how Lindsay does.
No. I do believe that the prophetic clock started ticking May the 1948.
May 14th,
1948. I was 14 years old. And, you know, one dear brother has set about four different dates for the coming of the Lord, and he's been wrong every time.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing to do. But I am just very, very curious as to, well, let me start by saying this. I think Luke gives us a better vision into this time frame, as we're calling it, because he says, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I feel I could probably argue that the heart of Jerusalem is still trodden down by the Gentiles. That Temple Mount, which is the heart of everything, is still under Muslim control. And
You know, if I could just add something, Paul, I've always said this, that if we go back to the Old Testament prophets, which are the root of everything we find by the apostles and Christ in the New Testament, it is impossible for Christ to have returned till Israel is a nation. Because all over the Old Testament prophets, if you go to, we're doing a study Bible now, so I've been dealing with the Old Testament for one solid year. Whether it's Ezekiel, whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Jeremiah, Israel must be restored and be called by the name of Israel to bring about the prophetic, of the prophecies of the last days, but Romans 11, to eventually open up the eyes of Israel where their blindness, where they shall all be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So the other part of that is Jerusalem. Psalms 102 says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, then he shall appear in his glory.
Yes.
And sometimes we emphasize 1948, when in reality there was a great pivotal moment in 1967 during that Six-Day War.
We were talking about that.
Yeah. That is probably, in my personal opinion, because remember that in Matthew 23, the prophecy was about Jerusalem. In Matthew 24, it was about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Thessalonians 2, it's the Antichrist sitting in a temple in Jerusalem. And even in the book of Revelation 13, it's the Antichrist taking over Jerusalem. It's Jesus coming back to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So the covenant that God made with David for the city of Jerusalem, Jerusalem becomes as big a key as the 48. And I think sometimes we've missed that over the years. I really do. That's just my personal opinion.
Sure.
I think that we've missed that.
All right.
The scripture you're talking about, this generation shall not pass.
Yes.
It's part of the parable there in Matthew 24. 32 through 35.
And Luke 21.
Yes. Yeah. And it simply says, consider the parable of the fig tree. When the fig tree puts forth its buds, you know something. You know summer's nigh. Likewise, when you see these things, the big question is, what are these things?
Yes.
These things are the things Jesus told us in Matthew 24. He had already prophesied about a whole chapter. And he said, when you see these things, then know that the generation that sees these things shall not pass.
But I've got some very big questions about that very point in just a moment. You know what? Before we really get into this deeply, let's give people a chance to get home, get out and get their Bibles or go back to the back room and dust it off and bring it out and turn with us to some very fascinating scriptures I know we'll be dealing with tonight. And we ought to also give our esteemed guests a proper...
Okay.
You first with Dr. Baxter.
The what is so interesting about Dr. Baxter and his curriculum vitae is great, and we're going to get into it, is what I like about him is you'll be kind of leading the witness and saying, now, Dr. Baxter, you know, I think that in this scripture it means this, and then he'll say, no, that's not, you know, so get ready for several no's, and I don't think so, okay. And I disagree with that. That's one of the things. Irvin Baxter, not only is a TBN programmer. What is your program on TBN here?
We're on 6:30. Actually, let me see. It's a half hour before this program on.
Yeah, 6:30 p.m.
Yeah,
6:30.
On which day?
It's on Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. President of End Time Ministries, television, radio host, author, obviously right here on TBN, and you've been now 32 years. Devoting your time to studying of end time prophecies and end time ministries. End time ministry focuses on explaining world events from a biblical perspective. The ministry's purpose is to prove that we are now at the end of the era of human government and very near the beginning of the prophesied kingdom of God. So that is Irvin Baxter. He has several awards and this kind of stuff and won the Nobel Peace Prize several times also.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just kidding. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
So,
looks good on a resume, though.
Yeah. I wanted to puff it up kind of like Perry's was. You know, Perry's has got a whole bunch of puff in
Boy,
it.
I'll
By
tell
the
you.
Way, I didn't write mine, just so you know.
Are you?
But you approved it.
Well, maybe so. I
yeah.
can approve
I was pretty sure you had written this. International evangelist Perry Stone, a fourth-generation minister. Mm-hmm. of the gospel, directs one of America's fastest-growing ministries, Voice of Evangelism. I thought there was another TV network that claimed to be the fastest-growing.
Let's move
ministry
on.
Versus TV.
Yeah.
From the 70,000-square-foot International Ministry Center, Voice of Evangelism is striving to reach the world with the gospel of Christ through revivals, television, audio, video, media, printed material, missionary sponsorships, on and on and on. I we'd keep you here the rest of the program if I read all of this, but earned his B.A. in theology at the Covenant Life Christian College. He's also been awarded 3 honorary degrees. At the age of 23, Perry was conducting revival, record-breaking revivals, some lasting up to 11 weeks. As a young age, Perry was invited to speak at camp meetings, conferences, etc., etc., etc. Through his more than 32 years of full-time ministry, authored over 40 books and booklets.
That's an old figure. It's 60 now.
It's
wow.
60.
Need to update it.
My goodness.
Praise God.
I think that was really
praise God.
You're going on and on about Perry. Let me give one more little thing about Dr. Baxter. Now, you authored a message for the president in 1986. What does that mean? Explain that.
The reason I called it a message for the president is because Ronald Reagan, there was an article came out where he said he'd been studying the prophecies of the Bible and thought we would be the generation that would see Armageddon.
Right.
So I received permission to reprint that in the front of my book.
Right.
And I put in that book what I thought the president of the United States should know to properly guide our country through the dark days ahead.
Wow.
And I did send a copy to President Reagan and received a letter in return as thanks. So rather interesting.
And also then you also stated that the Berlin Wall would be torn down, Germany would be reunited, and that these events would be the catalyst that would propel the new world order, the world into a new order. The wall did come down in 1989, we've continually heard about the New World Order ever since. When did you prophesy that?
I actually began teaching that in 1968.
Wow.
But then it was in the book. Wow. You know, once you put it in a book, you can't really back out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was in the book in 86. And I was the happiest guy on the planet the day that came down.
Yeah.
All right.
I got you.
Interesting.
All right.
Oh, my. There's so much we want to get into. And this is one of my favorite nights. I am not an expert, but I am a
enthusiastic student
of Bible prophecy.
And you know, Matt, let me just mention something.
Yes, sir.
I'm discovering in our meetings that the younger generation, which is the 30 and under, are really getting interested in this subject, when 5 years ago they were not interested.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they're tying in with the events that's happening and seeing it. When you can begin to see it, it makes a difference.
Got it.
So there is an entire generation that's very interested in the subject now.
I get prophetic utterances through the mail and on emails and quite often. Some of them are obviously not of the Lord, but some of them are. I have one here, and what I'd like us to do while Vern Jackson gets ready to help get us in the Christmas spirit a little bit tonight, I'd like for you to begin thinking, have you received from the Lord for yourself or from a prophetic utterance from someone you trust as being a true prophet of the Lord, anything that relates to our current situation over in the Middle East particularly, and worldwide for that matter? So can you kind of begin thinking about that? And you may have something, you may not, but we will see. I'll give you mine in just a little bit here. And also, I also subscribe to, do you get Israel Today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. If you want to know what's really going on in the Middle East, and particularly Israel, this is produced by a Messianic Jew.
Right.
And he tells you the real deal of what's happening over in that part of the world. The Arab Spring and the Coming Apocalypse is one of his headlines. Ooh, we'll get into that in just a little bit. But I got a very interesting prophecy, and I wasn't even looking for this. I was just going through some old papers the other day, and I came across this, a prophetic utterance that was sent to me in February the 3rd, 2006. So that's 6 years ago. And I don't really know this lady, Rhoda Jubilee Mitchell. I don't know if that name rings a bell with anyone. It's a very sweet and very interesting prophecy, but one thing that caught my attention, she says, I will send the man of God throughout the land into the homes of the people to turn their hearts to me before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I will gather my sons and daughters of the Arabic nations to come to my bosom as the loving father that I am. They shall know the great I am as their own father. That came before
the Arab Spring.
Well, it came before Benny Hinn and I came up with the Healing Channel, which is the all Arabic language channel that's going through Hot Bird 8 into the whole Middle East, and we're getting all kinds of responses from the Muslims. For a while, I challenged all of my Muslim viewers. I got a Quran. I said, now look, I'm reading your Quran. Now I challenge you to read my Bible, because let's don't shoot each other. My Bible says, come now, let us reason together.
Right.
And but I got many, many interesting, and one professor of English over in Saudi Arabia wrote me and said, Paul, I took you up on your challenge. And he said, you know what? It didn't take any time for me to realize the Quran was no match for your Bible.
Wow.
And he went on to say
he
had truly.
I need to tell you this because I've never told you this. In Morocco and Iran, we got the email and did a follow-up. There are Muslims under 30 years of age watching TBN who are coming to know the Lord. They love the Manifest program because it comes from Israel where they can't visit.
Right.
So they get to see the land, you know, because it's big in Islam.
Sure.
And I just wanted you to know there is a real impact, Paul, that TBN has outside this country. I don't think a lot of your people realize that watch TBN. I'm serious. It's when I go over there, the Arab people come up to me and say, oh, we see you on TBN. It happens
right.
all the time.
That's
so I want to thank God for that, because God is going to, you know, that Ishmael might be saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get, and I'm not saying this, please everybody don't write me when I say this, we can get so pro-Israel because we know the covenant and
mm-hmm.
we know the people that we forget the Arab Christians.
Yeah.
You
we
know,
really
I think God has put a special calling. My grandmother Crouch, she talked Grandpa on selling the farm at about the turn of the century, last century, and paid three or six couples way over to Egypt.
Mm.
And then later my father was asked by the Assemblies of God to go and become the like.
Did
the
you
field.
Live over there?
Yes, I was there for a
really?
Few years, just as a small child.
Oh.
And actually, I wish I'd have hung on to it. I spoke a little of the Arabic language back then, but I forgot most of it, except all the naughty words.
At least he's honest.
But anyway, how about you, Irwin? Do you get any responses from outside the United States?
Yeah, we got a call not too long ago because of TBN from Cairo, Egypt.
Cairo, yes.
And a man said that he had been a Catholic and converted to Islam, but he said, I'm still searching. Would you send us some material? So we did the very next day. I don't know where that stands right now, but we've gotten calls from Abu Dhabi, from Kuwait, from a lot of places. So
wonderful.
It's reaching out, and I'll tell you, you're talking about motivating, exciting.
Yeah.
I just say, praise God. You know?
Oh, listen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let me offer you a little, I'll do a little sales pitch right here on the air tonight. If you guys will see to it that your programs get translated into the Arabic language, I'll give you free airtime.
What?
On
really?
The Healing Channel.
Thank God.
And we can help you with that translation work, and it's very inexpensive. We do it kind of UN style. It isn't lip sync, you know,
right.
So it's inexpensive.
Right.
But a lot of people,
that's true.
A lot of our programmers are now having their programs translated into the Arabic language, and it's going out on old Hotbird number 8 over there, and it's covering the whole Middle East.
Let me ask Brother Baxter something. Do you believe that the last of the strongholds as far as the gospel is probably the Islamic world, in the fact that so many nations have been reached now in the Western Hemisphere and in Europe, Australia, but that Gulf area is an area that has to be reached? I
yes.
mean, do you see that too?
I tell you what, I believe they do have to be reached, and we better do it quick.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because there's a war prophesied in Revelation 9:13-21 that will start from the Euphrates River.
Mm-hmm.
Every inch of the Euphrates River is Islamic.
Right.
Yes.
And the Bible says that one third of the world's population will be killed in that war. So there's horrible devastation coming, and I'm frightened that it'll start in 2012, frankly.
Is that the same as Ezekiel 38:39?
No, it's not.
No.
No,
that's
not in
another,
my opinion. There's going to be differences of opinion on that, but I believe Ezekiel 38:39 is Armageddon, but this war has to happen before the Great Tribulation, in my opinion.
Here's one prophecy that actually came to pass, and it had to be from the Lord, because we are now seeing 24-hour a day Arabic language ministry going into the whole Middle East, going into the world. There are a lot of Arabic people all over Europe, and not just in the Middle East. But let me get back to what I asked you before the music. Irwin, let me start with you. Has any prophetic utterance or revelation come to you directly from the Lord or from someone that you know to be a true prophet of the Lord that would give us a little clue as to where we are on the timeline?
I believe I have an understanding. I wouldn't call it a prophetic utterance, but I do believe God opened my understanding. I'm teaching a lesson right now called This Generation Shall Not Pass.
Good.
And what I did, you know, when Jesus said that, I looked at all the signs he gave, and a lot of them are very general: wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. Well, there's always wars. There's always rumors of wars.
Sure.
There's always earthquakes. So I was looking for any specific signs.
Mm-hmm.
When those happen, you can drive a stake in the ground and say,
yes,
okay,
sir.
This generation that sees this was what Jesus was talking about.
Right.
I found two things that are not general signs. They are specific one-time events. 1, verse 15, the abomination of desolation. When you see the abomination of desolation, then that's one of the signs that Jesus said, the generation that sees these things shall not pass. The other thing is...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, for me, what is that?
What is the abomination of
yes.
whatever you said?
Well, Jesus said there yeah. in that passage, Jesus said there in that passage that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet would stand in the holy place. So it's going to happen on the Temple Mount. The Apostle Paul gave a detailed account of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
So don't we have to have a temple built first?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
It ain't
I agree
happening tomorrow then,
that.
It's because we don't have that temple yet, do we?
We don't have, so it can't happen tomorrow.
Yes. It cannot.
But it cannot happen tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, but...
Because right. I have a lot to do tomorrow. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, come on. I mean...
Let me finish the one scripture.
We have Christmas shop. Come on. Okay, go ahead.
But 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul gave the detailed description of the abomination of desolation. He said that the Antichrist would be revealed, the son of perdition, who exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, claiming to be God.
Wow.
So the Antichrist is going to stand on the Temple Mount and say, I'm the ultimate authority here, which they're trying to get done. That's the way they're going to solve the Temple Mount problem.
Yeah.
So in answer to your question, Paul, there are two things, the abomination of desolation, and there is... Then the very next verse says, when you see that event, then those in Judea will have to flee.
Flee, yes.
Well, there's 550,000 Jews living in the occupied territories, which is Judea. Israel had Israel prior to the 67 war, but they captured Judea in the 67 war.
Mm-hmm.
Now the world community says, you have to give it back.
Yeah.
But they got 550,000 Jews they don't know what to do with. They moved 9,000 out of Gaza and nearly had a civil war over
right,
it.
Right.
They say, we can't move 550,000. It'll split Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what they've come up with. The prime minister of the Palestinians, Salam Fayyad, said, you don't have to leave. We'll respect your property rights. We have 1 million Palestinians living in Israel under Israeli government. You Jews can live in Palestine. All
uh-huh.
the army's got to do is withdraw. Now,
mm-hmm.
that's what he has proposed. And on January 1 of 2010, in Haaretz newspaper, a Jew wrote an entire article saying, this is what we should do. This is the way to solve this problem. They are going to do it. And it appears Netanyahu is now willing to do it. They are going to do it, and that's going to set the stage for what Jesus said. When you see the abomination of desolation, if you live out there in Judea, you better run for your life because there's going to be slaughter at that time.
Wow. Let me add.
Whoa, wait a minute. You lost me there for a second. The abomination of desolations cannot occur, though, you said, until the temple is rebuilt and the Antichrist is obviously at that point revealed and goes in and offers a type of... Remember, I was taught back in my Bible school days that in the time of the Maccabees, that Antiochus Epiphanes went in and slaughtered a pig on the altar of the then temple.
I think Josephus says that the fulfillment of the abomination was that. However, it can't be, because Matthew writes, he that readeth, let him understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, abomination, when it's used in the Torah or it's used by the prophets, almost inevitably is idolatry, which was Israel's
mm-hmm.
main sin. The abomination in Revelation 13, when the false prophet makes the image of the beast, and the word there is actually icon, and he does something that only God could do. God actually created a man from dust and made an object live that he created. This will be 2 Thessalonians 2, false wonders and signs that would deceive people.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 24, Christ warned about the false prophets and so on. But when the false prophet of Revelation 13 builds the image of the beast and makes it speak and live, demanding people to worship it, no Jew who is a devout Jew would ever worship an image.
No.
This is the reason why in the temple, in both Solomon and Herod's temple, you could never put a picture or a painting or a carving of a face of a person or an animal, because God said this could lead to idolatry. Even the high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, took the gold off because of the golden calf, that there would be no temptation for that area. So the abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate would be Revelation chapter 13, when the image is built, demanding worship, and those who do not worship should be killed. Revelation 20, by beheading, which again is an Islamic way, as you know, of slaughtering people under certain conditions. So that's where you tie the temple in with the abomination, because in Daniel it says on the wing of the temple, is how it reads in Hebrew. It talks about the wing of the temple, the corner of the pinnacle, the corner of the temple, is the abomination that happens in the middle of the week, which is the middle of the 7 years, which ties in perfectly with Revelation 13, which is in the middle of that time frame where those events take place.
Okay.
I've got to say one more thing, Paul.
Okay.
That's really important.
Go ahead.
When Mahmoud Abbas went to the United Nations on September the 23rd,
right,
to declare to ask them to recognize Palestine as
mm-hmm.
a state,
yes,
he put two conditions. Number one, we must have pre-1967 borders, which means we must have Judea.
Yeah.
Number two, he said, we must have East Jerusalem as our capital, which means that we must have the Temple Mount.
Right. Mm.
So the two things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, the abomination of desolation is going to happen on the Temple Mount, and those in Judea are going to have to flee. Those are the two conditions that
mm-hmm.
Mahmoud Abbas requested for the world government.
Fascinating. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, when you see those two things, then know that this generation shall not pass until everything is fulfilled.
Okay. Now, let's get back to those two things, because that's the criticism I have from all of the younger people. You know, we've always had wars and rumors of wars. We've always had earthquakes. We've always had all of these signs that Jesus enumerated in Matthew 24. But take me back to these two things that you said are unique to this period.
Now, they're one-time events. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel stand in the holy place is always on the temple. The temple always stands on the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
The most disputed piece of real estate in the world, and those are the two critical issues in the peace talks. And, oh, one more thing I forgot to tell you. After Mahmoud Abbas made his application for statehood, the International Quartet issued a new invitation for talks. And they said, we want to finish these talks by December of 2012. We want to have the borders finished, and we want to have the Temple Mount settled, everything wrapped up by 2012. Now, we just produced a little DVD, 2012 in Bible Prophecy, which I just finished it yesterday. But anyway, the point is, if they get that done, according to my understanding of prophecy, if they get that done by December 2012, the final 7 years would begin December 2012.
But even so, then in that first, like, 3.5 years, the temple would have to be rebuilt, wouldn't it?
It has to be built in that first 3.5 years. Now, this is where Perry and I may not quite see eye to eye.
Hey, brother, I got a lot for you and I don't see eye to eye.
We're going to get into that in a moment.
Let me say something.
Let me say
this real quick. He's my brother, and when you debate prophecy, we can have a lot of fun, but it doesn't change us being brothers. Because
absolutely.
It has nothing to do with our salvation. So we're going to have fun tonight, okay?
We're going to have
fun in the Word tonight.
we want more light than heat.
Yeah. There you go. I'm sorry. Go ahead, everybody.
Lost my train of thought.
Yeah,
I had no clue what I was going to say.
The second
the
unique
idea.
Occurrence, besides the abomination, what's the other unique
those
thing?
Those in Judea will have to flee.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting the table right now with these talks that if you live in Judea, we're not going to try to move 550,000 of you out. It's impossible.
Right.
So you're going to be able to stay there. And there's actually a Jewish organization that's agreed together. Even if Israel withdraws, we're staying. A Jewish organization.
Then I'm confused on something. I thought the pre-67 borders were basically Samaria or the West Bank and the Gaza Strip.
It's called Judea Samaria. It's called Yesha, which is Yehuda Samaria. Yehuda is Judah.
Yes.
And so it's called the area of Yesha. And it's Judea, Samaria, all the way from Jerusalem to the Jordan River, Judea.
But Judea would include the new city of Jerusalem, wouldn't it?
No,
mostly Arab East Jerusalem would be that pre-67,
okay,
which would include the Temple Mount, the Western Wall. When President Obama said go to the pre-67 borders, I said, the guy's not even been there. He can't.
Yeah.
Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives, the Eastern Gate, the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, the Kidron Valley, all those holy sites that are connected to Christ, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, all of that would be turned back over completely to the hands of the Palestinians, with walls probably put back up with the separating barrier again. So I knew that, when you say go back to your pre-67 borders, it's suicidal for the Jewish people to attempt that.
Okay, I have a question that's really important, just real quick.
And remind me, you said something about the youth. Just remind me,
1948, you thought the clock started, this generation will not pass away. What you're saying, if I am understanding it, that now that we're seeing or potentially seeing some of these things happen, the clock is kind of starting now.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that Israel is not the fig tree. Israel is always referred to as the olive branch.
Gotcha.
I don't see one biblical proof for Israel as the fig tree. Therefore, that's the reason I think that was misunderstood. It was not the rebirth of the nation of Israel. It's Jesus said, when you see these things.
But in the Old Testament prophets, they're compared to the fig. So you can't say totally it doesn't represent Israel. You go to Isaiah and some of the prophets, the vine, Isaiah 5 is the parable of the vineyard, which Christ used in Matthew, but also there is a indication your fathers were like unripened figs. So you could apply that to it.
Okay.
And again, there's going to be a difference there.
That's neither here nor there, really.
Oh, just 100 years or more. You know, that's all. You know,
I'm having so much fun. I'm enjoying
myself. 2,000 years, what's a few days? You know.
Now, what I tried to say before.
I didn't even go to college.
Harry interrupted me. You. Go ahead.
I was trying to say, you talked about the temple being built in the first 3.5 years. Many people believe in a 7-year tribulation. In my opinion, there's not one scripture in the Bible for a 7-year tribulation.
Daniel's 70th week.
Well, but that's not tribulation, because Jesus said the tribulation starts at the abomination of desolation. Jesus said when
then shall be great tribulation.
Just let me finish a minute.
Okay. It's going to go like this, I'm afraid.
Because Jesus said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, then let those which be in Judea flee. He didn't tell them to flee 3.5 years before. He said, then flee, because then shall be great tribulation, such as never has been before. So the first 3.5 years is the Antichrist ascending to power by peace and diplomacy. That's when the temple's built. But all Hades breaks loose when that Antichrist stands on that Temple Mount says, I am God. Then everything breaks loose in Judea, and that's the great tribulation, in my opinion.
Okay, but here I have a big problem. The Jews are returning and continuing to return, as prophesied from the four corners of the earth. There's still ministries, still working in bringing more Jews from other parts of the world, and they're still coming into the Holy Land. Once they are in the Holy Land, if I understand Amos and Obadiah, they will not be driven out of their land anymore, forever.
You're correct. That's true with Israel proper, but that's not true about Judea, mm-hmm. because... Sure, yeah. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7, we already sent a magazine to every home in Judea warning them of what's coming.
Really?
We sent a magazine to every home. We're getting ready to do it again as soon as the temple started. And I've already told them, when you had to run for your life, get to the International Convention Center. I want to have the largest prophecy conference ever held.
Okay. Help me. Give me the borders of Judea.
Okay. Judea is from Jerusalem to the Jordan River and the southern portion. Samaria is the northern portion.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
but
yes,
Judea
yes.
is the southern kingdom. Yes. Bethlehem was Judea.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the area. But what I did, I sent a magazine out to all of them to warn them what was coming. And Zechariah 12:7 says, I will save the tents of Judah first. I believe when that hits, when the Antichrist stands in the temple and those Jews run for their life, the ones who believed us, I've already told them, get to Jerusalem, look for the signs that say End Time Prophecy Conference, and get there. And I believe the people who come there, they're going to look over their shoulders and see their brethren being slaughtered. And we're going to say, now, Jesus saved your life, didn't he? Let us tell you what he can do about eternal life.
Oh, brother.
I will save the tents of Judah first, because Israel looks down their nose at the religious radicals that are living out there in the West Bank. They say, you're causing us trouble in the international community. They think they're a bunch of redneck radicals. But so God said, I'll show you. I'll save Judah first, and then Israel gets her revival at the Mount of Olives. Now, this is all my opinion, of course.
Clearly. Yeah.
According to the Bible.
Yeah. Back up the Bible. Hold it. I cannot ever imagine Netanyahu agreeing to let the Arabs control what you're calling Judea, the Temple Mount on to the Jordan River and south, and then the West Bank north.
He's already agreed to it. He already, in his speech the other day at the United Nations, said we are ready for a Palestinian state living side by side with Israel. There's only one place for them to live, Judea. He agreed to it at the United Nations.
Can I share something from Matthew 24 that might sort of, because I know we're going to go back and forth quite a bit on different subjects tonight. you were saying something which is really true, that the younger generation often says, you guys have been talking about wars, rumors of wars, famines, and pestilence. Matthew 24 shows you something very interesting. If you start in verses 1 through verse 3, they're asking the question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world, which is actually the end of the age,
yes,
because the planet continues. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus says. Deception in verse 4, false Christ in verse 5, wars, rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. One of the Greek words for end is teleon or teleos, and it means the completion or the conclusion. So he's saying here, now you're going to see this, but it's not the end. Watch what happens. Then he goes and talks about nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Ethnos epi ethnos, basileia epi basileia, which is, we would almost could translate that, ethnic group rising up against ethnic group.
Mm-hmm.
And even in Europe, you know, Matt, that the basilica is the name of the church or the place of worship. And there could be a connotation there of religious wars, which is what's happening all over the world, whether it's the Hindus, the Muslims and the Buddhists, you know, whoever's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. Then he goes on down here and he talks about famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. And then he says, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. That word, sorrows, in Greek is birth pains. Now, we've moved from certain signs that are not the end to now suddenly coming to a series of birth pains. But the real key is, as you keep going down here, he says, and the gospel of the kingdom is preached for a witness, and then the end will come. Now, in Luke 21 and Mark 13, also Matthew 24, you have the parallel signs that Christ talks about. But there's a verse that says, when all these things begin, there's your clue.
Mm.
There's always been wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. But when they all start happening at once with intensity, you shift the prophetic scene at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all through my dad's lifetime, Dr. Crouch's lifetime, my grandfather, they've heard preaching on the coming of the Lord. But the thing is, it's the magnitude, the intensity, and the fact that everything there starts happening at once in one generation. That's one of your trigger
mm-hmm,
points.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real interesting that he says the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached and then the end could come. Now, if we can go into this, I'd like to go, because here's where it talks about the abomination. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken about by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then flee to the mountains. Now, this is probably where, and again, this is my brother in the Lord, so if there's any difference, he doesn't change him being my brother, but I'll tell you that.
Here comes a good one, Dad.
Yeah.
Apparently,
so
that was a good setup.
This is a setup.
I'm bracing
okay.
myself.
Yeah, yeah.
There are people that would read this and would, and as it talks about the abomination, they notice that the gospel is preached and then the end comes and then the abomination. Now, the abomination, as I said earlier, that makes Jerusalem desolate is the image of the beast that speaks and lives, that if you don't worship it, you're going to be beheaded in Revelation 20. So there is there's a Jewish remnant that flees in the book of Revelation to the wilderness where they're going to be protected. Now, there are people in the book of Revelation chapter 12 who teach that the woman there is the church, and Satan's coming down with great wrath to persecute the church. The Bible interprets itself. We can't do a self-interpretation on Scripture because that's where we get into heresy or error. If you go back to the image of that woman who, with the sun and the stars, it's Israel because of the dream that was occurred in the Old Testament.
You're getting a nod from
And we know that because the Bible interprets itself. The woman is Israel. However, what is interesting is there are people that have taught, and I get letters from them that says, no, this is the remnant that Satan is coming against in the wrath is the remnant of the church. Now, I'm going to show you who the remnant is because the book of Revelation tells you who the remnant is. All right, in chapter 11, which is the temple, and the Gentiles going to trample it for the final 42 months, that's in verse 2, two witnesses come. I believe, some say it's Moses and Elijah, I believe it's Enoch and Elijah, both have never died, and three of the early fathers identify when doing their treatise on the Antichrist that it would be Enoch and Elijah who have never died, okay? But we come on down from here, and this is where it's interesting. When those two witnesses are killed, and in 3.5 days their bodies go up before God from off of that temple, man, because the Antichrist has killed them according to the text. Watch what happens. The same hour there was a great earthquake, a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain 7,000. Now, isn't it interesting, 7,000 never bowed to Baal, according in the time of Elijah. Now, 7,000 men are slain. If Elijah's one of the two witnesses, that's interesting. And the remnant were affrighted and gave God the glory. Right there is the same word which is later used in chapter 12, where the dragon comes down and it says he tries to destroy, he persecutes the woman, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war against the remnant of her seed. Right there are the people who are frightened and give God the glory. Then the Antichrist is heading, he's in Jerusalem in chapter 11, but you see the details here in chapter 13 of him. But he's already killed him according to this. The beast has killed him. So he's there. So this remnant gets out of town. They leave. And I believe that's the remnant that you read about in chapter 12, the woman being Israel, and the remnant that goes, and Paul, you know, we've Petra in Jordan, because of some scriptures of the Old Testament, over Edom I've cast my shoe. There are many that believe that that's where this particular remnant will flee during this particular time. But I don't think, for those that say that's the church or a remnant of believers, the war is against the woman. The woman is Israel.
Okay.
Okay, so I just wanted to bring that out there.
You have leaped way ahead into deeper waters here.
Yeah, okay. And, you want to go back?
By the way, I didn't even know that he had leaped over into deeper waters. So, and Perry, I thought you were going to be easier to understand because of your age, and I wasn't tracking that. I wasn't tracking
that. Did I lose you somewhere?
Yeah, you lost me a little bit.
This is what I hear quite a bit.
Seriously, did you understand everything you said?
Generally, yes.
Did you? In the audience, did you get it? Yeah. Oh, come on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And by the way, I want to also note that if the camera comes on Dad and I'm nodding, it's only because Irvin's nodding too. Okay, so
you're letting them know
right.
What's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask you to put your thinking caps on again. And, Vern, where are you, sir?
We need a song about now.
I've also...
Mellow things out here.
I went to the Joel Osteen School of Prophecy. So I just want you to know that I'm not tracking all of this.
Joel Osteen?
Yeah.
He doesn't preach prophecy.
That's my point. You just made my point, yeah. So.
Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Irvin, this must be a typo here. Something about a DVD. When will the rapture happen? Coming in January 2012.
That's when the DVD's coming, not when the rapture.
Oh, that's, yeah. I see.
Yeah. What?
Thank you.
Okay. I love it. Put that on YouTube.
Yeah. You just that, made YouTube.
You just made YouTube. Yeah. Okay.
That goes on the blooper tube.
I love it.
Yes. Who typed this?
Let me interpret that for you, Paul. There's two things there.
He did. That was a good commercial for the DVD coming. He just made his commercial.
I see.
The DVD it's referring to is 2012 in Bible Prophecy. I did a Google search. On End of the World 2012, 551 million results.
Hello.
Wait. Say that again.
I did a Google search. End of the World 2012.
Yeah.
551 million.
Wow. I wasn't ready for that to be over. That was really, really interesting. So what do you think of it, Blog Talk Mom?
Oh, that was where we really got to where I wanted to hear what he had to say about that, because that
yes.
was... And I thought it was precious how they didn't, you know, slam each other or anything. It was
yes,
really good nature.
Yes.
That made me really, really happy. But I was wondering, but I can really understand, probably not fully, but that if you're studying something and everything, all of a sudden all of the parts just fall in place, it's almost like an urgency to proclaim it, you know, to tell it. It's
mm-hmm.
like you're seeing it. And but he handled that real well, and so did the other guy, because the information is right, the timing. And we've been warned all the way through the Word of God, you don't set a time. You know, those things, we do know
yes.
Scripture and to take it to heart, and to be ready at all times, but we have to be very cautious that we don't overstep, because those things are in God's hands. They're not in our hands. So, yeah, well, I really appreciate it. I was just telling a friend of mine here that's here with me to for my little hospital situation, and I was telling her how much I appreciated y'all for doing this, how much it meant to our family to study this. And, you know, there's people, Sister Starla, everywhere I turn right now are very interested in a very godly way, stirred in their heart. They're feeling the drawing of the Spirit of God to look into the Word of God like they haven't in a long time. So that's wonderful. That's a sign right there that things are coming to pass, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, you can see the signs of the times everywhere you look.
Everywhere. And it's exciting. It really is exciting. I mean, none of us want to hear about the horrors of tribulation and the, you know, the natural disasters or any of that. I mean, that's not what the human flesh gets any. I mean, it's not fearful necessarily, but it's really, I guess it is fearful, especially without God in the center of everything. But the coming of the Lord and the coming kingdom of God on this earth, I'm so excited about that. And I don't even try to say that I have any kind of great comprehension of Revelation, but just in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. To say that in prayer and to get quiet and just you know, let your heart and your body and your soul and just say that to God, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom, Lord, your kingdom, that holy kingdom, that pure kingdom, without violence, without wrath, without doubting, without sickness, without struggle, you know, that kind of struggle, just thy kingdom come in this earth as it is in heaven. And all of this is just right. He's at the door. He is at the door. And that's exciting, isn't it?
It is. It is, as long as you know where you're at. You know, I'm certain that there, for some people, it could be really scary.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
But you know you're not ready.
Yeah. But then again, it's a perfect time to get ready. It's a perfect time to just turn to the Lord with all your heart and let him redeem our lives from destruction. It's really something. And people everywhere I go are stirred. Every you know, as I mentioned, those wonderful Hindu people are just so interested in more of the Word of God and what we believe and why we believe that. And they're asking beautiful questions, nothing argumentative. Every Christian, this very moment, they can hear this program. Ask the Lord to direct you to stand in the presence of someone that you can give. The Bible says, be able to give them an answer. Give an answer of why we believe like we do. Why we believe in one God. Why we believe in the Word of God. It's just wonderful living for God right now. Because it seemed like there was a period of time, like, I don't know, maybe it could be partly my age, and as Solomon said, there's a time for everything. But right now is one of the most exciting times in my whole Christian life on how people are interested in wanting to know about God.
Yes, I think so,
God.
Too.
So many things have come to...
It's exciting to... Go ahead.
Pardon? It's exciting what?
It's exciting to me to see things come to pass, you know, prophecy come to pass in our time.
Right. It builds your faith. And it just is so, so like, I sort of make it when you're like, you're going on a trip and you're going somewhere you really, really, really want to be and you can't wait to get there. And then all of a sudden you see a sign, you know, so many miles to wherever it is, and then you recognize something. You think, oh, we're getting close, you know, we're going, and you just get more and more excited as you approach the destination. And we are approaching the fulfillment of all these prophecies that were in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and I've been reading in 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then also in James. And it's just like every time, Sister Starla, every time I read it, I get something fresh about the coming of the Lord and being ready to meet Him and being prepared and living for Him. So I really thank you and Wild Bill for putting the program together, giving us an opportunity to hear the different ones. Like I've watched, I guess, 6 or 7 DVD videos of Brother Baxter as he takes different subjects in the Bible in Revelation, and ties it in with the Old Testament. And these, they're not expensive. If anybody wants to, you can Google Urban Baxter Prophecy, End Time Prophecy, go to his website, and I'm getting ready to, as soon as I can, to order another set. And he has workbooks, DVDs, just all kinds of material if anybody wants it. It's broken down as much that you can just get your family around and your teenagers and work through these things and see the symbolism that's in the book Revelation tied in with Daniel, the prophet. And it's amazing. Just all of a sudden you think, oh, that's not a big old grizzly bear or a beast. That's a nation. Now he's talking about a nation that rises up out of the earth. And then it's very, very fascinating and very, like you said, very exciting. And I thank you again.
Well, we can thank Wild Bill. This was all him. I mean, I so did enjoy it. And you mentioned a minute ago about your surgery, and I want to give everybody out there in Blog Talk land an opportunity to pray for Blog Talk Mom as she faces surgery tomorrow. And I don't know if you want to explain what's going to be done, but she has a prayer covering. We prayed for you today, and we had prayer meeting at church, and they all prayed for you.
Oh, that is so sweet. This has been, I don't know about the physical part, but I have, as most people know, the Lord has given me a CD about rapping the Word of God, and stories in the Bible, and it's to a rap beat. And so when I was in the hospital Monday, we took about 20 of them, and the Lord worked it out. It was a little bit of a scare that I had to go to the emergency room for some reason. And I got to give out the rapping CDs, and people, there weren't at least one nurse that was needed prayer, extreme situation. And so when she closed the doors for one of the tests, we had prayer, and she felt like God had given, was going to give me a word of prophecy for her. I mean, it was having church all along the way.
Wow.
And that's what it's about. You know, you don't know where sometimes we're led, but it was really, really good. And they weren't going to let me come home. And the minister, well, actually the head doctor that came into the emergency room area, we just within, I guess, 2 minutes, we were talking about the Lord and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, being spirit-filled.
Wow.
And so I had sent word for him to call the cardiologist who loves God, and we talk about the Lord. He's encouraged me all along to go and work for God. So they just saw what strings they pushed, but they let me come home. I was really happy.
Wow, so, I bet.
I had to get up in the morning at 3 and be
yeah.
up there. It'll be okay. But I can't eat or drink. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So
no, what time is the surgery?
I have to check in at 5, and I will be with the anesthesiologist, and we'll discuss some things and go from there. I had I don't even know what they call it. And they said it can be caused from a lot of different, just many, many different things. But I certainly don't want them to use the same chemicals that they used when it that brought on the reaction. So I want to talk to them about that. And so I want everybody to pray that they will listen to me. It is a chemical that they use, and that they use it all the time. So it's going to be very available. And if everybody doesn't get the message, because it's horrible. I'm obviously extremely allergic to it, so we don't want to do that. And so I want to, by next Tuesday, I want to be up and at them. How about that?
Amen. Amen. You'll have to get Jane to give us a call.
She will. She's going to keep everybody informed. She has been a great friend, and I think it's amazing. I think she said, well, Bill, it was something he put on the Facebook or whatever, but she put her Sunday school class on hold and her job and is here and has been as much as a friend will ever be able to be. She's been wonderful. I try my best to talk her into staying in bed tomorrow and coming on up later, but she's not willing to.
Well, she is a true friend.
And you and Wild Bill and my wonderful daughter, I was, this is interesting to say, that I was very, very, about to panic because of going through what I went through and then sending me to the emergency room and redoing the same test. There's just a lot. And then I passed out, different, things that was happening. I don't know what it was, but doorbells, I called Richie in and called her and asked her to pray. She said she had a moment that she really had privacy. And she began to pray, and within 15 minutes, they sent word in that I could go home, and the dizziness and everything left completely. It could not have been a coincidence. I mean, that she touched God, and I know she did, and I really, really appreciate it. I appreciate all the prayers. Y'all keep them going. I know I'm a blessing, Star, because anything that makes you pray is a blessing.
Yeah, well, you're a blessing to us. We definitely want to keep you around for a while. We're not ready for you to go anywhere yet.
Well, if I do, a couple of times I got to thinking about it. If I can't think of anything in this world that's going to be as exciting as stepping into that other one and being with the Lord, but just face to face and just. You know, there are historians that said that different people, I mean, one historian, Josephus, that Paul ran to the place where they were going to behead him, and he said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So it's, either way, we can't lose with what we use. How about that?
Amen. Amen.
Also, if anybody that's listening would like to see a wonderful song done by Sister Diane Gordon, then go to YouTube, to the J&T Church. And she was singing. She was singing when y'all were here, Sister Starla.
Mm-hmm.
And Wild Bill sent me an audio about it on my text, and I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Really.
Yes. That was really good.
It's fun, too. It's really fun. Just to worship the Lord and dance before Him. Greatest calling that we have. Well, I guess since I'm going to have to be getting up so early, I'll leave you. And
well, we'll be praying for you. And we're just going to believe that God is going to be there, right there with you.
You know what I was thinking about? I was talking to a couple of from church, and I thought, wouldn't it be something if I go on with the surgery? Because it was over 90. All the tests have showed over 90% block. If they open up that artery and it's 100% open.
Wow.
I think
that would be God.
That would be good and God. So however you want to do it. I love him, and I trust him, and we'll talk to y'all later.
Well, good night. And we want to thank everybody for listening with us tonight. And we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.